The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Great to have you in. Welcome to the weekend edition of Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, and 80s action star Colton Stone is back. And we are down here in the rail yard, home football Saturday, as it is a makeup and an opportunity for Nebraska to stack back-to-back wins for the first time since September 23rd and September 29th. Of last year. That was Rutgers in Illinois, my friends. So a history opportunity here for Nebraska to get back to what you're used to. We're down here till 9 o'clock, and I want to see you down here in the rail yard just outside the gorgeous offices of Hail Varsity. You can join us this morning, 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. You can email Chris@HailVarsity.com. And you're always welcome to tweet at us at Hail Varsity, at Schmidt underscore radio, at Mark Skurs. Everybody's down here. We have Cardiac Katie. I call her that because she's putting banners up. She's going to go get about a 7 mile run in, and then she'll be back. Gorman's captain and founder of the Husker Polar Bear Club. He's in shorts. And Buckeye Joe's got a gallon of Red Bull already. Kranak right now is putting out a Camel Light on his tongue because it's game day. So, we're ready to go. Our rewind's coming up. Black shirt and Husker Hall of Famer, 10-year NFL vet. I am anxious to play this for you. Ralph Brown had a chance to catch up with Double Deuce on Thursday. Some great insight on Lamar Jackson's journey from Ralph. It's been kind of a talking week by a lot of Nebraska football fans about the black shirts. 10 of 11 have them. Ben Stilley says, I need to be better. I need to do better. That's up for debate by Nebraska fans. He's played good football this year, but he needs to be better. And we'll spend some time on that. What does Adrian Martinez do for an encore? My goodness, that was special last Saturday as Nebraska got their first win. And we'll get into what you need to see from the defense today. As Bethune-Cookman come on down, they are in town for a payday. Mr. Kranak, nice to see you again. How are you, brother?
Parking was an issue.
Yeah?
Yeah, normally we get to pull right up here.
Mm-hmm. Were now, you, was the man with the rubber gloves surprisingly gentle?
There are a couple things at work here today.
I like your stocking hat.
Thanks. I like your hair, Chris.
My hair's the best thing about me.
It's well coiffed, as usual. There's a couple things at work here. I realized, because you know I got pulled over down on the way down last time.
Yes, you told me this morning when we had our pre-production meeting about 5:45, no law enforcement today.
No popo.
No popo.
Was not going to happen today. But what threw me off was I didn't realize how much I normally do speed. Right? Because when you
I've known you for 25 years, and I know you speed.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, you frighten me, and that's why I ride in the back seat. It's not to make you my driver. It's just that it's a little safer.
Well, and the booster's back there, so that helps you.
We have a read about buckling up we'll get to in a little while.
But, you know, I realize once you get pulled over, you know, for the next week or two or three, you're the best driver in the city.
It's a deterrent.
You know what I mean? You're, like, checking out all the signs, and you are just adhering to all of them. And so I was setting the cruise for the speed. And, you know, when that happens, you don't get here as fast. And then you show up and the parking isn't there.
Mm.
What's up with that?
I just parked next to Gorman. It's roped off. It's velvet. It's like Studio 54 without the massive quantities of drugs and women. But it's good parking.
Oh, well, if that's the case, I'm out of here. I was promised something entirely different. I don't know.
You got to stay. What do you think about today? Are you fired up?
It's a scrimmage.
Okay.
That's what it is. Did you hear?
It's a scrimmage.
There was something really poignant. There was something really poignant that Scott Frost said in the press conference, and it was about 4 seconds.
We got a good one?
Well, so they were talking about how this came together, and he started waxing poetic about Sean Becton and the relationship. Mm-hmm. But then he closed that question with, you know, after talking with them, they trust that our intentions are good here. And you're like, what does that mean?
It means right? They're not going to go maul and murder today.
Exactly.
They're not going to beat anybody up.
And you've heard
intentionally.
And you've heard from both camps that's basically at some point the conversation with Frost or whoever was, look, we're not interested in 73-0. We don't want to bring you here to
embarrass you,
pummel you, and embarrass you. We need to get a game in. It's going to be at a juncture when we both need a break. Mm-hmm. Let's get some young guys. I mean, you've heard from both camps.
Let's do some development today.
You've heard from both camps they want to play the young guys. Mm-hmm. What does that tell you? You know, I think from the get-go it has been that. And because of that, I would have to say it's the weirdest regular season game Nebraska will have ever played.
Sure.
I mean, when you already are going in with that in mind, and the other team is too, it's an exhibition. Mm-hmm. That's basically what today is.
So are you going to get in at the goal line? I mean, if it's for everybody today, do you get to score that touchdown? Are you finding your way onto the field inside the two? 21 Kranak break.
I don't see why not, Chris. I mean, it's time. We've put in a lot of work over the years.
And when you get into the end zone, are you going to go Barry Sanders and flip it to the official?
I'm mooning.
Or are you going to not act like you've been there before?
I'm going to moon East Stadium.
You're going to moon East Stadium.
Yeah, because that's where my season tickets are.
Uh-huh.
And so I just, you know, I'm going to moon them.
Okay.
Is that all right?
I haven't seen that side of you. I have not seen that side of you.
They're not. The band isn't even going to continue at that point. That thing's probably going to reflect a lot of light.
Might. Let's talk Minnesota for a second. Nebraska. We thought Nebraska'd get that first win. They did get that first win against the Gophers. It was good. Then it was sweaty.
Yeah.
And then it turned out okay. I look at Nebraska and this whole process of learning how to win, right?
Yeah.
Where it was almost there against Northwestern, and then you finally broke through against Minnesota. And there were some trials and tribulations they had to take and endure that third quarter, but I thought it was – you'll look back on it, and it was necessary.
Mm. It was
– You don't agree that it was necessary?
What the W?
Yeah. I mean, the win, yes, was necessary, but I'm saying how they got – win.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm going to go inter Saban here, but the process of said win.
Yeah, it was
high. Oh no, finish.
Yeah, and what that's what Frost talked about leading into it was you got to finish it. Did you make your way like into the stadium at all during the game?
The last 5 minutes.
It was very festive.
Yeah, it was celebratory.
Surprisingly festive throughout.
Well, the coolest thing I saw, and you want to see something awesome, check out the social media channels of Hail Varsity and the footage of Frost running off to the locker room with not 90,000, but the good old 76,000
at least
still there, and the cheer.
Yeah.
And there's been a lot of moments, man. Alex Henry's 57-yard bomb.
Yep.
Janovich going Hulk against Wisconsin back in 15. Pick any of the Nebraska-Oklahoma games. The bloodlust of Halloween 1992.
Mm-hmm.
There are sounds seared into your ears as a Nebraska fan over the years.
Yeah.
The Frost cheer and the cheer for the team. But when Frost ran off and tipped his cap, and just great footage and video on Hail Varsity, the Twitter feed, Instagram, and Facebook. I mean, the video is sick. It's so cool, and it just engulfs you.
Yeah,
that's what I mean. I wanted to see the game, obviously. So last 5 minutes, you go onto the field to do the post game, and then boom, there's Frost running off, and it was really really cool to witness.
The entire game day atmosphere was incredible. And it kind of shocked me, to be honest. But I think it had something to do with the fact that by this point, people were just like, okay, come on, guys. Like, all right, we get it. You've had some issues, but come on. You got to get this W here.
We comprehend transition now.
Right. And if, well,
after 4 years, after four different decades of practicing it, we now get it.
And there was brilliant sunshine, right?
Yeah,
so people
gorgeous.
Were just in a good mood after being, you know, 2 weeks of rain and losses,
mm-hmm.
you know, is basically what people were coming from. So the atmosphere itself was perfect. But what I thought stood out offensively for Nebraska, and we talked about this from, you know, with Brandon Vogel, and then really ever since Frost has gotten here, you know, Nebraska has this decided schematic advantage when you got Frost on your side calling the plays.
Mm-hmm.
You just look at his productivity offensively over his career, and you really can't argue with it. You know, he's just – Dude's a top five offensive mind, and there's no question about it, right?
And he nailed, man. He rocked some of his play calls.
Yeah.
You want to talk perfect timing, perfect setup, and then the execution was nails.
And I think the true marker of having a decided schematic advantage is when those touchdowns are wide open.
You see him pop.
Yeah, it's not a guy has to make three dudes miss, or it's not matriculating down the field, you know, mm-hmm. 10 to 15, 20 yards at a time. It is a Zigbo. Make one guy miss, and that could have been from 80. Both of those plays could have been from 80.
Yes, and you see it with Mike Williams,
mm-hmm.
the seal, the growth. Guy can catch and run. He yeah. needs to block. He's worked his butt off to become a blocker.
Yeah.
And the seal that he provided on that first touchdown run where Ziggy found the crease, got
yep.
the corner, got the house call.
Yep.
You're right. I mean, the way Minnesota was all out of sorts, they were outnumbered.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the mistake you're going to make for this to work mm-hmm. on top of the blocking and execution and the athleticism. And you saw it.
He finds where the weakness is, and he exploits the hell out of it. And then you look at both Stanley Morgan touchdowns.
Oh, yes.
Both of those could have been from 80. They were wide, wide open. And that's what you saw with Central Florida last year. It's just, I mean, some of those plays, you're just like, my God, dude. That guy ran through a 10-yard alley mm-hmm. untouched all the way to the end zone. Like, that scheme
yep.
is what that is. You know, that scheme. So you couple that with, I mean, let's just go ahead and say it. One of the most talented quarterbacks in the country, maybe the most talented overall skill quarterback Nebraska's ever had. I know he's a true freshman. I'm not saying he's Hall of Fame or he's Heisman or anything, but in terms of skill set.
But you can whisper that at this point.
Yeah.
Barring any ugliness mm-hmm. with the game of football that it can bring.
Yeah.
And you can go ahead and say it.
Dude, he is silk. I mean, that guy is...
We were talking to Dolman yesterday, and Dolman's been around this program for decades.
Yeah.
And he likened Adrian coming here at this time, with this scheme, with this coach...
To Tommy?
Before, to Turner. Turner. To Turner.
Yeah.
And
I can see it.
That flipped everything on its ear to start beating Oklahoma...
Yeah.
And playing for championships, it was followed up on with Tommy. You don't get Tommy without Turner, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
and now you have Adrian.
Somebody posted, it might have been the Big Ten Network, but it's Adrian Martinez's highlights from 2018. It's about
yep,
an 8-minute video.
Yeah.
It's he's better than I think.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You've seen him, like, go from you saw how good he was against Colorado,
mm-hmm.
and then you saw how limited he was against Michigan, but still gutting it out
mm-hmm.
in that freak show of an. I mean, that's how, you know, how good Michigan's defense is.
Yeah.
And then you see him battle back against Purdue right there. I don't think he was great against Northwestern. He wasn't bad by any means. But the things he missed on
yeah.
against Northwestern, he was crushing against Minnesota. He's got elite coaching.
Yep.
They're helping elevate him. But the match between coaching and tutoring and skill set
yeah.
is fantastic. Think about it. It's fall, right? I don't know what you like in the fall. I like black and tans.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Right?
Yeah.
You can go order one here.
Yeah.
But
be right back.
Kranek, you have to pay your tab, brother.
Yeah.
But that's the mesh going on.
Yeah, look, it's one win.
No,
and so we,
right.
And so we have to couch some of this.
And you've been starved for it.
Yeah, so we have to couch some of this, but some things just don't lie. And you you look at Martinez's highlights from the year, he's a different level. He is a different gear. There's no question. And it's crazy that he's only played 7 games ever. He's already positioned himself. Put it this way. Just answer this question. Who in the conference would you trade him for? Nobody.
Nobody. No.
Like, absolutely nobody.
And you know why? Because of what he can and does do with his legs.
Mm-hmm.
Haskins is nice.
Yeah.
He ain't a runner.
I don't want him.
No.
In this offense?
No. That's a great point, and you've not been able to say that about a Nebraska quarterback
in a long time.
Since number 7.
So it's now, and you also see what happens when you just have sort of an average day at the office with penalties and mistakes.
It not an excessive.
Yeah, it's not like they deserve a cookie for that performance, but they didn't, you know, it wasn't ridiculous.
No, they were clean.
It was relatively clean. Mm-hmm. And then Martinez.
They were real clean for them.
Martinez didn't miss, almost literally did not miss. You know, everybody, what is it, 25 or 29, and 3 of those, you know, one's a drop, one's an intentional grounding downfield, which is the weirdest call I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And then there was.
That's called an overthrow, not intentional grounding.
There was basically one legit incompletion that he threw in 29 attempts. Like, legit, he just missed.
Yep.
So 28 were on the mark out of 29? Right? So
that's Kranach accuracy, my friend.
The other thing, though, is you're not going to get that all the time.
No.
Of course. You can't expect that. But I'm just saying, I think Frost called a masterful game. And it's a good sign when those touchdowns start really breaking. And they could break, you know, where you watch them and you say, you could have been on your own 5, and that would have been that would have been 6, because it was so wide open. So that's what Nebraska has got to look forward to. And so today, what do you get out of it? Scrimmage.
Yep.
We've been talking about Cam Taylor, Deontay Williams. You know, been talking about some of the young guys getting reps. Today's the day that happens. And those are Florida guys. They probably know some of the dudes on the team.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be good for them.
It will.
Well, Cam Taylor's an Alabama guy, but, you know, Deontay Williams. Mike Williams might be able to get off today, finally.
Sure. Well, and Woodyard and some of the other guys, McQuitty, you're anxious to see that. It's Mark Crane at Chris Schmidt. We're down here in the Rail Yard, Hail Varsity Radio. Weekend edition just outside the Hail Varsity offices here high above the Rail Yard, just next to the Cube. And don't forget, Real Red Reaction gets rolling right after Nebraska Bethune-Cookman. From the Rail Yard, your chance to react to consecutive wins, Adrian's performance, how do those black shirts look? We'll get into Ben Stille and Lamar Jackson's journey. Our rewind coming up with Hall of Famer Ralph Brown. I want to remind you about your friends at Madonna Proactive, 56th and Pine Lake. Yesterday, I was so happy, man. Did the morning show, got to Madonna, got some swimming laps in, and then got over to the graduate for the road show Friday.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It was so nice getting the laps in, wheezing uncontrollably, but I felt energized.
Yes.
Just one of 3 pools that Madonna Proactive has. The other one, the outside pool, obviously shut down for the fall.
And
I know. But I tell you what, they have the Aqua Track, the only one in Lincoln that's phenomenal. They have cardio equipment galore, 2 floors of it, a walking track upstairs. They have 130 classes they offer you, including TRX, yoga, kickboxing, basketball courts where Kranach and Ari Gold can play horse, launch from 3 if they want, pickleball, and I tell you what, they have a massage service. They have such a great care facility there for you, and when you get signed up, you pay nothing now till January of 2019, the biggest sale of the year going on, MadonnaProactive.org. Give them a shout and take your tour today, 56th and Pine Lake, 402-420-0000. When you do that, you get full access to the medical fitness facility, consultation with a certified personal trainer, 1-hour session with a wellness coach, consultation with a registered dietitian. The dietitian said, Schmidt, start rocking some avocados, my friend.
Yeah, man. Get some of those good fats in you, brother.
That's what I've been working on.
Get some dense caloric intake. Do it. It's actually a fruit, not a vegetable.
Whatever it is.
Who knew?
It is good. Mark Radak, Chris Schmidt, a timeout. Colton Stone back at our ESPN studios. We are going to play Guess Colton's Hat coming up. And it's nice to have 80s action star back with us. A quick timeout. Ralph Brown next with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Now back with Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, with Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranach.
We say hi to Hall of Famer, 10-year NFL vet, and an All-American. Played since he was stepped foot on campus. Ralph Brown, at Ralph D. Brown on Twitter. Ralph, you on your Twitter bio, you say you're a foodie. What's for dinner tonight?
I don't know yet. But I'm always trying new stuff. And I love food and I love cooking too. But I don't know what's for dinner yet. I'm usually a last minute type of person.
That's fine. I'm going to stay with food for 2 seconds before we get into football, or you hang up, one or the other. What have you adventured into food wise that you never thought you'd be eating? What have you broadened your horizon to?
I tried caramelized frog legs.
And, what?
Caramelized frog legs, and then I did lobster and waffles the other day.
Really?
Do the
frog legs taste like chicken?
Yeah, a little bit, but when you caramelize anything, that's what helps the flavor.
No, I know. I hear you. No, it's a good answer. How was the lobster and waffles?
It actually was pretty good. I had it at a restaurant out here in Southern California, but it's the pairing of the syrup that made it taste really good and the way they made the waffles. I was a little bit apprehensive at first, but I like to try new things. So when I tried it, the pairing of the waffles, how they made it, and then the syrup, it made the lobster and the waffles taste pretty good together.
Was it just normal maple, or was it a special syrup?
It was a special syrup, and then it was almost like a peach kind of combination, a waffle, and then the syrup was really good. So I don't remember the actual flavor of it, but everything that, you know, the trio of mixes with the waffles, the syrup, and the lobster, it made it taste really good.
Okay. So let's go from food to football. What type of flavor combination is Nebraska football right now?
Well, they're on an upward trajectory. If you look at the game against Minnesota, how the defense played, you know, overcoming adversity at some times throughout the game, the offense, top five offense in total yards rushing and total offense. So, I mean, they're doing a great job. And just to have the fan base show up for a team that's 0-6, everyone's still supporting. I think Nebraska's on the way back to the top, but it's going to take a slow process, and we're finally taking that step forward.
I want to get your take on two black shirts. Well, one that's waiting to be a black shirt by his own accord, and one that got his black shirt finally. Let's start with a kid you know well, Lamar Jackson. And Lamar is man, he's been through a lot of ups and downs and got thrown out there probably too early as a corner, even though he played safety. What's been your reaction to how he's handled things? You know, he thought about leaving. You know, he didn't like being benched. But a one-on-one with Coach Chenander and Frost changed everything for him. That probably doesn't surprise you. But how do you assess Lamar's maturity right now?
I think he's handled the situation pretty good. But you always need a coach, the coordinator, head coach, position coach, to get behind you and infuse that confidence inside of you when you're going through tough times. And with Lamar Jackson, he played early, made a lot of mistakes, struggled with his confidence, and didn't live up to the hype that everyone had for him coming into the season and the seasons at Nebraska. But for him to go through a lull, have the adversity, you know, lose his starting position, and then kind of gain everything back, gain his confidence back, and have the support of the coaches and get the black shirt, that says a lot about him wanting to quit at first and then getting that confidence back and being part of the team. I think that says a lot about the young man and the coaching staff with Coach Frost and Chenander as well.
I mean, they handled that beautifully. And I think the story was from the World Herald, and they did a great job with it. You want to be a pro, act like a pro. They were tired of his antics. Did his antics ever weigh on you? And let me ask you this. Did you ever reach out to him at all, or did you just kind of stay away?
Well, I kind of stay away. I tend to think that some of the coaches and different people in the university could kind of help those young guys on the team. But, you know, sometimes guys are spoiled. They don't never go through adversity. And then when adversity slaps them in the face, they don't know how to handle it. The first thing they think to do is quit, go home, and give up. But when you have a coach and players that believe in you, they tell you, hey, look, this is part of life. Let's keep fighting. We believe in your talents. We know you're great. You wouldn't be here, you know, if we didn't think so. That's the kind of words that you need to hear from a coach so then you can believe in yourself and resuscitate how you want to play the game and get back to that top level. And Lamar Jackson is one of those players that can get back to that. The potential for him is through the roof, and we'll see what happens moving forward. But I'm excited about how Scott Frost, he handled it, Lamar Jackson, and Shenander as well.
Ralph Brown's with us, Hall of Fame Husker, 10-year NFL vet, 2 times to the Super Bowl, at Ralph D. Brown on Twitter. What's your take on Ben Stille? Came from film session, said, you know what? I can't do it. I didn't play up to the level. I didn't play up to the standard. How are you as a black shirt, a 4-year black shirt? How do you react to that?
I love guys that have that standard, and there are certain standards that I carried when I played the game of football of what I felt like I wasn't living up to. And when you have a guy that's like that, his standard, Ben Stille saying, hey, look, I don't deserve my black shirt yet, that says a lot about his standard and what type of players that you have on your team. And those are the guys that you want to lean on, get behind, and you know that they want to live up to what they truly believe the black shirt is. And if Ben Stille is not saying, if he's saying, I don't want to take my black shirt, he knows how high the black shirt is coveted and how he wants to represent the brand of being a black shirt. My hat goes off to him for that. And once he gets his black shirt, which I know he will, I think that'll be awesome.
I'm wondering how is that something you saw or did? I mean, was there ever doubt with you about playing up to that level, or did you witness anything like that when you were down in Nebraska?
I didn't witness anything like that, but there were certain guys on the team that we felt like played at a high level. But the thing was, Nebraska already had that black shirt standard in place, and it was just for us to draft off of it from the guys that were there before us. No, it's lost its luster, it's lost its standard, and a lot of people forgot what a black shirt actually represents, and that's been tossed around over the past years, but now they're trying to bring it back, and Ben Stille knows, hey, look, I know what the standard of the black shirt is, and I want to lift it, you know, up to the apex of where I feel like it is, and I don't feel like I'm playing like that, but, you know, a lot of guys didn't do that when I was there, but for someone to do that, Ben Stille, carry that standard, my hat goes off to him.
Well, and let's be straight. When you were there, I mean, it was McBride and it was the Peters and Wistrom. I mean, so, I mean, it was crystal clear that you needed to play at a certain level, and or your peers would let you know, correct?
Exactly. And that's how it's been for a while. But, you know, the identity was stripped of the black shirt over the years, and then guys didn't really know what the standard was. Certain defensive coordinators probably lowered the standard of what being a black shirt was, and Ben Stille wants to put that high up, and I feel like the black shirt does need to be lifted and vaulted up really high so guys understand how they have to carry themselves on and off the field, their commitment, giving 110%, you know, being selfless to your teammates, and, you know, a multitude of other things, and I think it's getting back to that.
Ralph, I wanted to get your take on Adrian. You have followed him. You had a chance to see him in high school. Are you shocked at how well he's playing?
Well, not at all. And for me, to just see his junior film and what he did at his junior year, I can look at potential and where people are headed. And when I saw his junior season and what the potential he could be, he was a 4-star athlete. I said he was a 5-star coming into Nebraska. I truly believe that. And then for him to play with his skill set, pocket awareness, great accuracy down the field, and his speed, you couple that with Troy Walters and Scott Frost, tutelage, and those guys and their offensive schemes, I knew that Adrian Martinez would be a tremendous quarterback, and I'm not shocked about what he's doing and what he did last week against Minnesota.
I know we're about 10 days out, maybe a little less than, but have you peeked ahead to Ohio State at all?
Yeah, a little bit, but I've been trying to just focus on each game that we have as a Huskers team. We're just trying to get past, you know, Bethune-Cookman right now. But I looked at the schedule. I looked at Ohio State and what they've been doing and kind of how they're a little struggling right now with their identity, struggling on defense a bit and not really gaining the rhythm that they thought they would have, you know, from the season.
I've peeked ahead, Ralph, and it never gets out of you guys. You're like, well, one game at a time. Everyone's important. And was that always in you, or was it by about game 3 as a Husker, you're like, okay, it really is important, one game at a time?
Well, I think players always look ahead, but you got to pull yourself back. Like, you go ahead to that game, you're excited, you know the trash you might be talking or how that game's going to be, but then you pull yourself back and say, hey, look, we have Bethune-Cookman this week. We have to handle these guys this week, take care of our business, and then after that, go on to the next game and then so on and so forth. So a lot of guys do it, but we don't like to admit it, but you just can't stay there. If you stay there, then that's how you lose games. That's how you make mistakes. And, I try to make sure that, hey, look, we do one game at a time because you don't want to focus too far ahead, and that's when you can, lose, the previous game leading up to that.
Ralph, let's switch gears and talk some NFL. I got to ask you, did you ever get to cover Coach Walters? Did you guys ever cross paths in the NFL?
No, I didn't, but we have a lot of respect for each other. I was on an All-American team with Troy Walters my senior year in 1999. He's a great guy, had a great college career, and he's just a great person just from his family, how he's coaching now, how he's been coaching with Scott Frost. And my hat goes off to him, watching him from his pro career and then now coaching. He's been just a great athlete and just a great person overall.
Okay, Ralph, give me your top four, your NFL power rankings.
Ooh, top four. Okay. Right now I'm going to go Rams.
Mm-hmm.
Two, Patriots.
Okay.
Three, I'm going to go Chiefs.
Okay.
And then four is a good half. That four spot.
Vikes?
Saints.
Saints over Minnesota. Yes. Okay.
Yes.
All right. So you've got Kansas City and L.A. squaring off here, and I think, 10 days a week down in Mexico City. What is the Achilles heel, in your opinion, for the Rams? What could trip them up from getting to the Super Bowl? What could trip them up from winning this year? They're unbeaten. I don't think they'll go unbeaten. But what have you seen? I know they're in your backyard. Is there any lack of faith in them at all?
No, none at all. This team has it all. This team is balanced on offense. They're breaking some of the records that Kurt Warner and his offense were doing with the greatest show on turf. Their defense has a D-line, great secondary, linebackers to fly around, led by Ogletree. And when you talk about what the Rams can do for them to not make it to the Super Bowl or lose, it would have to be injuries. In my case, I think if they get riddled with injuries or get some key positions that are out for a while, I think that's the only thing that can stop this Rams team. I mean, they're balanced everywhere. They have the top back in the NFL, in my opinion. The offensive line is good. Jared Goff, you look at the way he throws a deep ball, Cooper Kupp in that offense. I mean, they have the perfect team, and I feel like if they don't get ahead of themselves and they take one game at a time, just like we talked earlier, and then know how to handle the playoffs and carry that hunger from losing last year, I think they'll make it to the Super Bowl.
Ralph, this has been historically one of the highest scoring seasons in NFL history. As a defensive player, what are your thoughts on that? Are you kind of sad to see it so high scoring, or are you kind of fine watching it as a fan, seeing all these points put up?
I like the high scoring games because that adds the grandeur, it adds the excitement to the games. But every now and then, you want to see some games that are 10-3, 6-3, sometimes 9-7. And the case that in the NFL, we're not seeing that. We're seeing so much scoring and so much explosiveness. And then it makes it hard to judge how good quarterbacks are, who's going to go into the Hall of Fame in the future, because these numbers are going to be so inflated because the game is catered to offensive players. But I enjoy it. I just don't like the fact that defensive backs can't jam up. They're throwing a lot of penalties. They can't tackle the quarterback and drive the quarterback away all the way through. And those are frustrating. But, that's the name of the game. The points sell tickets, and you just have to enjoy that.
Ralph, you can't breathe on wideouts now. You know that.
Yeah, of course. And it's frustrating. If my son wants to play football, he's not playing defense. He's going to play offense.
I never thought I'd say this publicly, but if my kid wants to play ball, and he is playing football, but go be a kicker, work 13 years, and make about $20 million.
Exactly.
buy me a boat. Last thought, yes or no on the tears with Derek Carr. Did he cry? If he did, is it okay?
I think different injuries kind of conjure up and pull out different pain and tears from guys. I got injured, lacerated my kidney, and I tore my pec off and my labrum. But sometimes tears are because you're going to be out for a week or two. Mm-hmm. If you actually cried from the pain, then that's something for your teammates to actually get on you about, because you shouldn't really be crying about pain. You should be crying because you might be out for a week or two.
So I'm going to ask, I got 30 seconds. Did you cry with the kidney laceration and the tearing of said pec?
No, I didn't cry. I didn't cry either time. It just, the burn, it was one of the most intense burning pains in my shoulder that I felt when I was playing against the Saints, when I tore my labrum and my pec tore off as well. So I didn't cry, but it just, I was sad about being, having to be put on IR.
No, I got it. Man, you tore your pec.
Yeah, am I laboring at the same on the same place?
And then Ralph just said, "Get me some dirt. Let me rub some dirt on it. I'm okay." Hall of Famer Ralph Brown, and try the lobster and waffles at Casa de Ralph. At Ralph D. Brown is where you find him on Twitter. Husker Hall of Famer Ralph, you're the best, man. Great to get caught up and talk some football. We'll do it again. Thanks for the time.
Yeah, you too, brother. Thank you.
See you, man. There he is, Ralph Brown, with us.
Early to rise with Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Here's Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranick.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranick. And we made a coffee run during the rewind with Ralph Brown. Kranick, if you missed it, Hail Varsity tweeted out the opening chords to Bon Jovi.
Dead or Alive.
Yeah. Kranick, you're multifaceted. You're pretty talented. Dan tweets in at Notre Dumbass. We love Dan, and it's the gift from Step Brothers. Your voice is like a combination of Fergie and Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, I wish I could go a day where someone didn't tell me that. I know.
Fergie went to the same high school as Ralph Brown.
How about that?
Yes.
Out in West Covina, not West Covina.
West Covina is where LP went.
Yeah, so he went to, don't tell me, Ralph Brown went to, give me a hint.
Well, he's from Hacienda Heights.
Hacienda, thank you. I knew it had some sort of Spanish origins,
So
as every California town does.
Ralph Brown was pretty awesome with his praise and reality on Lamar Jackson's ascension. Also, his take on Ben Stille. I commend Ben Stille for really embracing his own standard as he interprets it with what a black shirt needs to be. And I think it's pretty cool. Lamar Jackson, everybody and their dog has written that kid off. And he's bounced back. He's playing well. He's got some confidence. He's being coachable.
I've been all over that dude since the Tennessee game his freshman year.
Yep.
You know, it's just, you know. And I don't know if you can coach that into somebody or not. We'll see. He's skilled. He covers fairly well. But when you absolutely need to, is he going to drill somebody? Is he going to give up his body to drill somebody for the team? Is that going to happen? I still haven't seen it yet. And maybe it hasn't been required yet in
the
game.
I think it's a very fair question. But I think as of now, everyone's on the same page. Where he thought it might have been personal as to why he's getting benched. And the response was, no, man, you act like a pro. We expect, you know.
Yeah.
You want to be treated like a pro, act like a pro.
Well, and can you imagine, too, being, look, Scott Frost, very physical player when he played. Eric Chinander played on the offensive line. It's probably physical, too. Travis Fisher, very physical member of the secondary.
Yeah.
Right? Can you imagine those three walking in? Seeing Lamar and how he plays, seeing what he's gifted with, because in the uniform, get off the bus.
All busted.
Hello.
All busted.
You're just like, come on. The guy's, he's perfectly built to play corner. Mm-hmm. There's no question. But then they see some of the stuff where he bails on contact, and they just have to be looking at each other like, are you kidding me? Like, what is this? What, this is Nebraska? No.
They can't process that.
No.
Because they're not used to it.
So how do you get that through to somebody? Because I don't... Now, honestly, though, physicality is sort of a learned behavior.
Mm-hmm.
It's not normal to just want to, you know, knock heads with somebody, like, out of the womb, right? You have to learn how to do it, why to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get used to it. I wonder if they can bring that to him. Because if he can be that physical presence, which, honestly, everybody on the planet can be physical. It's just whether or not you will, right? Whether or not you will. Will you do it or not?
Can you learn to like it?
Yep. And if he can, yeah, don't take that dude off the field.
No, and from a coverage standpoint, he is, I mean, I really enjoyed with as many kind of stop routes or the back shoulder attempts that Minnesota got going with, the way that he and DeCamp played where there was no contact, they were shading. Because there was no contact, they didn't necessarily have to have their face turned around. They didn't have to turn around. The face guarding flag that gets thrown at Nebraska 13 times a game or the contact.
I didn't notice this, what you're talking about. That's interesting.
No, I mean, they played them and mirrored them.
Right.
But there was no contact towards the end of the route. There was no
– got
it. You can't call them for face guarding and contact.
There's been a lot of those on DiCaprio this year. I would say, what, at least three?
Well,
maybe four?
Yeah, at least four. And I'd say two of those four, that it was uncatchable. Not because you're all over the dude, because it landed 3 yards in front of the receiver and corner.
But he's being a little frisky. Well, a little touchy.
But that's – you have – it's a no-win right now if you're a defensive back in college or the NFL.
Yeah, it's tough.
It's just
– honestly, it requires people like Lamar – you know what I mean? Like, Lamar doesn't get pass interference very often.
No.
You mirror
off the line is what he's been flagged for.
Like what you said, you have to mirror somebody, you know, and that's not easy because you have to respond to their movements.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know where they're going. That's what it requires.
Mark Kranak, Chris Schmidt, we're here in the rail yard just outside the Hale Varsity offices. Weekend edition till 9 o'clock. Don't forget Real Red Reaction going on. Sugar Ray is down there. He's staying warm. He's waving. And we will have Brandon Vogel coming up. Gary Sharp on the way. The Iron Horse. Do you want to get away from the in-laws this Thanksgiving? Maybe you don't trust the lovely bride. Or maybe you're just a butcher and not in a good way when it comes to making Thanksgiving dinner. How about Wilderness Ridge? Always open to the public. Something to be thankful for. How about the ability not to cook or clean for Thanksgiving? Give them a shout. They have their Thanksgiving buffet going on. The brunch is tremendous. The Thanksgiving Day brunch, November 22nd from 11 to 3. You'll be back in home in time for the Lions or Cowboys. Can make your reservations today, 402-434-5118. And a price break for seniors and military, very affordable for children between the ages of 5 and 12. 4 and under is free. So the Thanksgiving Day brunch, Wilderness Ridge, November 22nd, 11 to 3. We'll take a timeout, hour 2 coming up here in the rail yard. Hale Varsity Radio Weekend presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
The Hale Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Back with you, hour 2 with Hale Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. We are outside here, the Hale Varsity offices. In the rail yard, weekend edition of Hale Varsity Radio. Don't forget Real Red Reaction coming up on ESPN Lincoln right here on the balcony of the rail yard. Right after Nebraska Bethune-Cookman, Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak. Follow us on Twitter at Schmidt_radio, at Mark Skurs. And as always, find and follow Hale Varsity. Do so. And you'll be a happier Husker fan because you get info, you get stories from gentlemen like Derek Peterson. Dr. Petey's just shown up.
He's in the house.
He's waving. He's saying hi.
He's sporting his Oklahoma Crimson.
He is.
That's happening right now.
Greg Smith is here, and he's all over recruiting. So Greg is here. You have Gorman, the president of the Polar Bear Club, for Nebraska football fans, in shorts already.
Yep.
And Buckeye Joe, he just took 7 gallons of coffee with a straw.
Gorman's got insulated calves, though, man. He does a lot of calf raises.
I think
so
he does.
It's kind of like, you know, Popeye, but calves.
Brandon Vogel right now is probably pulling something off the smoker and tempting his neighborhood. We say hi to Brandon Vogel from HaleVarsity.com and magazine at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. Vogues, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. I need to know if Derek is actually wearing crimson or the official blood maroon of Bethune-Cookman.
Ooh, is it blood maroon? We'll take a picture.
So that is their official color. Blood maroon is what they call it? Blood.
That's what's in their style guide, yeah.
Derek is saying words we can't repeat on air and shaking his head at you, Brandon Vogel.
Yeah.
Vogues.
Yeah, it is kind of a blood maroon Bethune-Cookman color.
Kind of what I figured. Yeah.
Derek's always been a Bethune-Cookman homer, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, he comes in with that reputation.
It's his Super Bowl.
It's his Super Bowl. you know, and Derek's been trying to shake off Russ, 5-19 from the field against Brandon Vogel's Celtics. But
it's been a dicey week. It's good to have this game for Derek to kind of pull things back.
To move on. We want you to spend a few minutes on your story. It's on HaleVarsity.com. What's at stake for Nebraska this Saturday? Vogues, I loved it. And I like about everything you do, be it barbecue or riding, and both. So what's your take here on kind of what you need to see from Nebraska today? Kickoff at 11. They're working on two wins in a row for the first time since September 23rd and September 29th of last year.
Yeah, you know, these games are tough, and particularly with the unique circumstances surrounding this one, because it's always important to me to be very respectful of every opponent. That said, you know, the line for this game is what it is for a reason. So you kind of go into it thinking that the result isn't really up for grabs the way it would be in a normal game. So what do you do with that? I mean, I think there are a couple things here for Nebraska to highlight a couple I mentioned in that story. I think the defense could really use a strong day, even if it's against, you know, an opponent that's got some talent offensively, but it isn't challenging you the way a Big Ten offense would. So that'll be one of the key things I'm looking for. But the biggest one, I think, is just, you know, all year long, Scott Frost talked about the day-by-day mentality. You know, there were some great details in Derek Peterson's story about Oregon. He talked about how Chip Kelly was trying to get the team to compete against a faceless opponent, and then Scott Frost went ahead and mentioned that term right away on Thursday. So this is a game where I think Nebraska's primary competition is itself. When they start 0-6, they weren't passing that test. So let's see where they're at now, because this is a game where I think they have a great chance to do that.
Did you notice during the press conference this week when Frost closed, when he was talking about how this game came together, and he brought up Sean Becton and that relationship, and then he kind of closed with, you know, I think they trust that our intentions are good here. More or less admitting it's a scrimmage Saturday and we both have a gentleman's agreement. Is there ever, that makes today one of the most unique games in Nebraska history, does it not?
It is. It's going to be strange. I'll be interested to see what it's like, you know, in the stadium and what it looks like on the field, because it feels a little bit like pro wrestling. So not only is the result almost assured, but it's agreed upon. Like, okay, this is how this is probably going to go. You know, and it serves a function for both schools, obviously. You know, nobody likes these kind of games, I don't think, but they're kind of an important part of the overall college football ecosystem. You know, Bethune-Cookman needs games like this. And Nebraska, it serves a function for them too.
Okay, if it's like pro wrestling, Vogues, who's Nebraska? What character is Nebraska? We can't say Nature Boy. They're 1-6. And who's Bethune-Cookman? Give me the characters that each are representing.
Oh, you hit me in a blind spot. I my wrestling days are long since passed.
You can go classic wrestling.
Yeah, I can barely even remember any of those guys, even though I used to. I used to watch a ton of that. I got nothing for you, I'm afraid.
Oh wow,
that's fine.
Yeah,
dude. I've never gotten into the whole wrestling thing. I've never understood that.
It's fine.
Have you? I mean, really?
I liked Ultimate Warrior as a kid.
See, you're weird.
Yeah,
that's weird.
That's pretty good.
Sergeant Slaughter, was that a guy?
Yeah.
Or was that just a G.I. Joe
well,
thing?
No, he was a wrestler, and then he was a G.I. Joe character.
Okay.
Right. I got the nothing. Iron Sheik with a camel clutch.
I got nothing. Andre the Giant, I guess. Sure. Hulk Hogan. Remember well those done. Guys. Yeah. Wow. That's Bethune-Cookman week, is it not?
It is.
that's sort of what it's left with. Hey, Brandon, offensively, I think one of the marks of a Scott Frost offense when it's doing well is that the touchdowns are wide open, right? Like, it's you look at both the Zigbo runs, both Morgan catches. Those both probably would have been good from 80 because there was just, you know, basically make one guy miss, if that, and you're just running free. And that's how UCF looked all last year. Do you think the offense turned some sort of corner last week, or was that specific to the matchups against Minnesota? Because that looked a lot like what you saw on the field in Orlando last year under Frost, last week against Minnesota.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I don't know if they turned the corner, if they just, you know, they knew they had calls that were going to work against what Minnesota was trying to do. But either way, when you get those kind of big plays, so, you know, we talk a lot about explosive plays. They're important because they're virtually points on the board, you know, whether it gets the end zone or not. Like, you're probably going to – most teams are going to score on a drive that includes a play of 15 or 20-plus yards. So it's good from that perspective, but it's a little bit like three-point shooting because it can be kind of volatile and tough to replicate, except when you're getting plays like that, because those plays are not just chuck it deep and hope a wide receiver makes a play. Stanley Morgan was wide open. Divine Azigbo had to make one guy miss on those runs, and those were wide open. So I think that's the kind of really good explosiveness, or not really good because it's all good, but the replicable explosiveness that really good offenses have. And last Saturday was the most consistent example I think we had of that with Nebraska.
And that's scheme, right? When that happens, of course there has to be execution, but when they're that wide open, that is scheme and coupled with really good play calling, right?
It is. I mean, you know, the touchdown that went to Stanley could have gone to you, who, you know, is one of Nebraska's best receivers and one of the best receivers in the country, but it could have gone to any of Nebraska's receivers. So those are the ones. And then if you can stack plays on top of that where, say, a Maurice Washington or a J.D. Spielman just makes an incredible individual effort and turns a 6-yard gain into a 36-yard gain, then you're really going to probably you should be putting a lot of points on the board when you can have those two parts of it together.
Brandon Vogel's with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. We're down here in the rail yard, home Saturday ball game, the makeup game, Nebraska Bethune-Cookman, and can find and read Brandon Vogel, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Brandon L. Vogel. Be sure to read him this morning, read Derek Peterson this morning, catch what Greg Smith is doing this morning, of course, Mike Babcock, Aaron Sorensen, Jacob Padilla, tremendous team covering Nebraska football for you. What's at stake this Saturday for Nebraska? It's really a tough ball game because you can't win ugly, as you wrote, Vogues. You're supposed to deliver a savage beating, public beating, but it can't be sloppy. What's your expectation for Adrian today? Because he wowed the world last Saturday.
Yeah, it's pretty tough to come up with an expectation for him after he throws, you know, completes 86% against a Big Ten defense. You know, granted it's Minnesota and not the top of the league, but still a pretty solid team. So, I mean, it's hard to think how much better it could look against an opponent who's not at that level. So, I think this will be one of the things I'll be looking at. I guess is he comfortable back there in the pocket? We've seen games against the top teams on Nebraska's schedule this year where that hasn't been the case. He's had to, you know, move around and try and make plays. And those are really the only points, I think, where he's really gotten into trouble this season. And they're not very many. So if it looks like the opposite of that, if it looks like he's back there just picking out which receiver he needs to go to, that's probably a pretty good sign. You know, the numbers, it's almost hard to know what they could be based on how much he'll play. But I guess just the overall comfort level will be the thing I'm looking for, because he should be pretty comfortable.
Brandon Vogel with us on Hail Varsity Radio. How important is look at what Nebraska has that they can count on offensively right now. You got Morgan and Spielman, no-brainers. You got Washington and Azigbo in the backfield. You got Martinez. That's kind of it, right? How important is it for Nebraska to – do they need another receiver or two? Do they need another running back or two? Do they need a tight end to really round this thing out?
Yeah, I mean, based on the yardage totals they're putting up, it's hard to argue they need one, but, you know, they haven't sustained any major injuries to any of those guys, knock on wood. So, yeah, I think you're always looking for more depth. You know, Mike Williams did some good things last week. He's a guy that I'm surprised at this point in the year that he hasn't been a bigger part, and that's probably was just unfair expectations on my part to start the year, but it looks like he's getting there. You know, we see Maurice Washington do some great things, but I don't know if you totally feel like Nebraska is set depth-wise at running back and tight end. You know, that's another one where you've seen some flashes. I think that is probably, if you're talking about going shopping for one of these things for Nebraska's offense, a little bit more production out of the tight end spot. And I don't blame this on any of the tight ends. They just haven't gone there a whole lot. But I'd like to see a little bit more there.
Vogues, want to wrap with this, kind of your state of the Big Ten right now, your take on Ohio State's troubles, Purdue's surge, Penn State's uncertainty, and how good is Iowa?
I think Iowa's playing as well as any team not named Michigan at the moment. They've got an offense. They've always got a defense, of course. And you put those two things together, and, you know, to me so far, this looks better than the 2015 Iowa team that won the division, you know, was knocking on the door of the playoff. They've got that one loss to Wisconsin, which is tough because it could come down to that head-to-head tiebreaker. I'll be really interested to see what they do today. You know, Ohio State, it'll be real interesting next week to see how they come off of a bye week, because even going into Purdue, you know, just talking football with like my brother or friends or whatever, you could look at Ohio State's statistical profile and say, oh, this isn't typical Ohio State. This doesn't look like a playoff team. You just can't be that imbalanced and be one of the top four teams in the country between offense and defense. So, you know, we'll see. They still got time to get it corrected. They've only got the one loss, so it's far from dire there. But there are legitimate questions for me with the Buckeyes, and, you know, it could set up to be a pretty interesting finale in Columbus with that Ohio State-Michigan game.
Vogues, you gave many hope Monday morning. You always do with your hot reads. But you laid out a way that Black Friday could be for the West. Enlighten me.
Well, it'll be hard for me to remember. You just need about 15 independent results all to go one specific way for Nebraska. They, of course, have to win out in conference. Northwestern can't win. So start with those two. Like, if Northwestern wins any of its remaining games, then it's a moot point. But, you know, it's been a long time since I've had to calculate probabilities, but I did some math on it. If these were all just coin flips, like 50-50 games, which they're not, you know, you're looking at about a 1 in 250,000 chance. So, but there is a chance. It's
gonna
not
happen.
Dead.
It's going to happen.
It's better than the lottery. So you got that.
Hey, there's no weird rule anymore. Like, you can still get into a bowl with 5 wins, right? They didn't change that, right?
No, you can, and, you know, I've heard some people, I haven't looked at this myself, but some people talking, like, right now I think there's about 4 spots that you wouldn't project would be filled at this point.
Huh.
Yay.
Huh. Brandon, Frost effect. All right.
Brandon Vogel with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Brandon L. Vogel. Vogues, you're awesome. Thanks for getting up with us this morning.
Thanks a lot, guys.
There he is, Brandon Vogel, HailVarsity.com and magazine. The Iron Horse, Gary Sharp, is coming up. We're reminding you about the laws of physics, Mark. And when you're in a vehicle, your bodies travel in the same speed of that vehicle, and you know about speed in the vehicle. And think about this. When it's time to stop abruptly, what do you want stopping you, a seatbelt or the windshield?
Seatbelt. We'll go with
seatbelt is right.
Yep.
Seatbelts prevent excessive injury when your vehicle and your body need to slow down in a hurry. So whether you're in the driver's seat, the passenger seat, or the back seat, buckle up now. Click it or ticket. A message from your friends at the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety Office. We're down here in the Rail Yard Weekend Edition. Hail Varsity Radio, just outside the beautiful offices of Hail Varsity, the balcony view as we look upon the Cube. 96 kicks. So you're going to get rolling here with a pregame party for you. And don't forget Real Red Reaction immediately following here on ESPN Lincoln as soon as Nebraska and Bethune-Cookman are finished. The Iron Horse up next, Gary Sharp, as we continue with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Glad to have you back.
Yes, sir. You heard me right.
Here are the guys, Schmidt and Kranak.
Well, Hector, here's the game plan. You're going to bring us two absolute martinis. You know how I like them, straight up. And then precisely 7.5 minutes after that, you're going to bring us two more. Then two more after that, every 5 minutes until one of us passes out. Excellent strategy, sir.
And we are back here, Hail Varsity Radio in the Rail Yard, as we're outside the Hail Varsity offices, Weekend Edition. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, we welcome in the Iron Horse, Gary Sharp. Sharpie, how are you, sir?
Hey, good, thank you. Looks like it's going to be a beautiful day for football.
It will be, and I need to get your take on a lot of things today. But first and foremost here, with Nebraska and Bethune-Cookman, this makeup game, and Kranak's hit on it in the first hour. What do you label today? Anything more than a scrimmage?
Well, I don't want to go that far. I'm going to call it a quickie because I think it's important for Nebraska to and we should not overthink this. And my opinion, guys, changed on this because we're still talking about a team that's 1-6, and it was nice to win last week. But it didn't erase things that are still flawed on this team. But it showed you that some guys and parts of this football team in 2018 are turning the corner. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with them playing today because I think they need to play good football and they need to start stacking good performances. I was thinking, you know what, you got to be careful in this game. Until I heard earlier in the week, we had a chance on our radio show here in Omaha to talk with the head coach of Bethune-Cookman. And he said basically we're going to treat it as a developmental game. Yeah. We're going to look at a lot of players. Our more important games are after we leave Lincoln in our conference where we still have a chance. And so when he said that, I thought, okay, this might look like a preseason week three of the NFL where the starters get in on both sides, they do their work, and then both staffs get an opportunity to look at players that have played a little bit this year or haven't played at all with the redshirt rule. So I think it's a quickie today. Nebraska, get in and out, be efficient, do what you're supposed to do, don't overthink things, get out with a victory. Give them an $800,000 check, send them on their way, no injuries, and then you turn the corner to what turns into be an important month of November in terms of development for the program and possibly for hopes of playing into December.
Gary Sharp with us on Hail Varsity Radio. So, you know, we expect both teams. It's like a gentleman's agreement game, it sounds like. You know, as long as things go somewhat to chalk, let the backups get some time today. That in mind, who do you expect to see a lot of that we have not seen a lot of and that we will take note of today?
Well, the one thing about Nebraska is they don't have a ton of depth. So it's not like they're going 95 deep today. I think you'll see more of the Cam Taylors, the Caleb Tanners, the Colin Millers on offense, Wyatt Mazur, some of the wide receivers, Woodyard, Justin McGriff, some guys that you have not seen yet. But the thing about this game, and I think there's a lot of respect on both sides, so this game would not have happened, respect and relationships. Nebraska's not going to try and embarrass Bethune-Cookman.
Right.
But they would like to get an opportunity to look at Andrew Bunch again, look at Noah Vedral again, look at some of their backup offensive linemen that are in there, like a Sichterman. But they can't. They don't go really deep. That's the thing. You might see a guy like Andre Hunt today, possibly, and maybe even Miles Jones today you might see. But for the most part, I think you'll see the backups that we've seen the majority of the year will get to play an extended amount of time. But don't kid yourself. The starters need to be efficient because Scott Frost kind of tested their maturity this week, giving them Monday off. Don't be a knucklehead on Monday and come to work on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And what did we hear, which has become a familiar refrain of late? They had one of the best practices on Thursday. So I expect Nebraska to get going early today, and I think the starters look at it from, if we do our job and we get a comfortable lead, we can let guys that are with us in our position group or are challenging us every day on the scout team, they get an opportunity to play in a game and get game reps.
Hey, Gary, not trying to put you on the spot, but let me put you on the spot. Jalen Bradley, nobody talks about him. Frost was asked about, hey, what's, you know, where's Jalen Bradley? He's like, oh, he's fifth. That was pretty much it. You're just, do you have any idea what's going on there? I'm surprised by how little you hear of and how little he's even a factor.
Yeah, and I don't know that he's going to be a factor moving forward. And I'm not just talking 2018. I think there's a disconnect. You know, Jalen's had an interesting career where at times last year he was mismanaged, had a bad knee. You know, his body has bounced back and forth on what he wants to be and what they want him to be. And I just think even though this staff had a familiarity with him, recruited him out of Central Florida, something hasn't connected between this staff and Jalen Bradley. And I don't see Jalen Bradley, unless something drastically changes, guys, I don't see Jalen Bradley being a factor in that running back room anymore. Hmm.
Gary Sharps with us, Hale Varsity Radio. Sharpie, a thought on just really Adrian Martinez and what he did last week and the praise, but also kind of dealing with that success. His maturity level is impressive, but you get those type of accolades that early, it could blow anybody's head up, right? How do you think he moves forward? How do you think the staff moves forward with him? Not that there is an issue, but how do you keep from an issue happening?
Well, I don't think so. I think he's, and we all got a chance to interview him before he showed up in Lincoln.
Yep.
And we were blown away by his football IQ. And just for a kid that young, how mature he sounded and responded to questions from people that he didn't know. And he got his first taste of the Nebraska media. I think he's morphing into his head coach. There's a lot of things Scott Frost says that Adrian Martinez says. And you can see that they have a really good connection. And he's very grounded. He doesn't like the attention. He steps up and he speaks after games or on Mondays, and that's important for the quarterback of the University of Nebraska. But he's never rattled, and I don't think he gets real high. I don't think he gets real low. He just wants to go play football and be a student-athlete at Nebraska. And that's why I've always said, after getting to know him in the spring, he's perfect for the bubble that is the starting quarterback at Nebraska. Because it's not only what you do on the field, it's what you do off the field because everybody knows your name. And I think he's handled it really, really well. And you can slowly see that he's getting more and more confidence. And that offense, just think about it. You're gonna lose a couple of key components by this time next year in Divine Ozigbo, who has blown everybody away, and Stanley Morgan. But the efficiency of the offense and the head coach, the OC, the quarterback coach, and the quarterback all being on the same page, I mean, the sky's the limit for this offense. But what they need to do today and moving forward is they're going to get a lot of yards, but those yards need to result in points like they did last week when you rolled up 659 and you put 53 on the board.
Gary Sharp with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Flip over to defense, and, you know, I kind of feel like most fans have just sort of accepted the defense is kind of going to be what it's going to be.
a little ping pong.
Well, you know, just not that great, and, you know, hope you can get a couple stops here and there. Do you think that is the long-term expectation here, or do you think – because it's interesting how Frost and Chinander talk about their defense. They're just like, well, we just need a few turnovers and a few stops, and then we'll be fine. You know, there's no talk about dominating the opponent or anything like that. Is that something we're just going to have to get used to, or do you think they will, you know, really try to foster a field?
Keep it below 30?
Yeah. Or do you think they really will try to field a dominant-type defense? There's no talk of that ever.
Well, and I used the word complimentary earlier this week, and I was I was pushed pause by a former defensive player. And I said complimentary from the standpoint is the head coach is an offensive guy, and he's known for his offense. And he's pretty confident every time he goes out there, they're going to score 30 or more points. And they say to the defense, you hold the other team to 4 touchdowns, we'll win the football game. I think ideally when they get the right people in place on the defensive side of the ball, more depth, more speed, more size, that they could live with a top 15 offense. And if that defense is in the 50s and 60s, I think they'll take it. But right now, I think last week, guys, 53 28 or whatever the final score was against Minnesota, that's kind of the game that Nebraska right now would like to play.
Yeah.
Those kind of games. But I also think we all have to adjust in this moment how we look at Nebraska, because any other place where they give up 28 and you score 53, you're like, well, that defense wasn't very good. That defense probably did exactly what you expect them to do in 2018, to make stops for a while. You're going to give up a couple of touchdowns and a couple of big plays, and then you're going to get a key takeaway. I think that's the defensive prototype for five games moving forward, what you saw last week. But in the future, I think if Nebraska can live in the 50 to 60 range of total defense, as long as that offense is humming, everybody will live with it, and they think they can win football games and win division championships.
What's your reaction been to the praise towards Lamar Jackson and the statement by Ben Stille?
Well, let's start with Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson definitely the last 2 weeks has gotten better on the field. I think where Lamar Jackson has gotten better is between the ears. Kid grew up quick. I think he showed up to remove himself from the program, and for the first time in a while, and maybe the first time in Nebraska, coaches wanted to talk to him about Lamar Jackson, the person, not about the football player, and, hey, you're not doing this, you're not doing that. Let's talk about Lamar Jackson, the actual person from California that's been in Lincoln, Nebraska for a while. And I think it opened his eyes, and it probably strengthened the relationship, and it gave him a little bit more confidence, and he's gone out there and played. Now, the other side of that is we still think we can see better from Lamar Jackson, and for Nebraska to have success when you think, oh, boy, you might see 60 passes next week in Columbus, Lamar Jackson's got to be better. So it's important for him today. He's shown some maturity the last 2 weeks. You go out there and you don't mess around today if you're Lamar Jackson. You go out there and you play hard. You don't take a step back. I think it's a lot between the ears that has helped him now on the game. But one thing about Lamar Jackson, I'll give him credit, because all of us have, you know, taken our shots at Lamar and wondered how come he can't be better. He always shows up to speak to the media, never runs from it. And he has no filter. He just tells you how he feels. I respect him for that. On the other side of Ben Stille, you know what? Admirable for him. I wasn't blown away by the statement. We don't see practice, but I think he has done enough to earn a black shirt. I wonder how other people in that room, when they hear his statement, how they react internally. Either, come on, Ben, or, uh-oh, I got to get my practice standards up to Ben Stille.
That's exactly it. What's the reaction? Does it raise it or does it cause some question? Gary, before we get you out of here, bud, and thanks for the time. I asked Vogues this, and I kind of want your assessment of the Big Ten. I know Bethune-Cookman is today, but a week from today is Ohio State. They are reeling. They have been embarrassed their last very few losses. This time, though, Purdue, not Clemson, not Oklahoma. What's your read on Ohio State a week away, and over touch on Iowa as they head to Penn State as well, and a thought on Purdue. Let's hit a little Big Ten buffet and kind of give me your take on the league right now.
Nate Stanley is who we thought he was going to be. Big boy throws, command of that offense, but that defense really has shown up for Iowa. I mean, they absolutely smothered Maryland. I still don't know who Iowa is. We're going to find out today at 2:30 when kickoff happens at Penn State, because I think Penn State will be on edge. They don't want to lose three in a row. So we're going to find out a lot about Iowa today, but I think that defense is really, really good. Purdue, watch for Purdue today. How do they handle success? You know, they've won four straight and all by double figures. And if you go inside the numbers, they could be 6-1, 7-0 guys. But now they go to Michigan State, and you don't know what you're going to get out of Michigan State, especially with Brian Lewerke out. That's a statement game for Purdue. And then at Soap Opera U, who knows what Nebraska's walking into next week. I think about Ohio State coming up at Purdue loss. I wanted to play this weekend. But I get a bye, and what happens is you get all these anonymous quotes from coaches that talk to coaches on the Ohio State staff, former players that are wondering what's wrong. We don't know what we're going to get out of Ohio State next week. We know we'll get a really, really good football team. But where is their head? Because it's kind of turned into Soap Opera U, and it's crazy because they still have a chance to go to the playoff if they win out. Next week is fascinating leading up to that game. I think when the line comes out, guys, on Sunday, Ohio State will be a 17 to 18 point favorite. But hasn't your opinion of Nebraska's at least being able to go in there and compete for a while changed a little bit in the last couple of weeks?
It has.
Yeah. And, you know, Gary, you were around in Florida when Meyer was making hay down there. And then when the program kind of fell apart, I think it's been partial, well, not partial, full on wishful thinking that the same thing would happen in Columbus with Urban, where he'd have his run.
People in line saying it's going to happen.
Well,
they're speculating that already.
Are you seeing shades of what you saw in Florida with the way things are going down? And can you describe kind of what those are and maybe what that means?
Well, there's this, the side of the health, which, you know, you talked about having headaches now for the last couple of weeks. I look at the disconnect on the sidelines. It looks like he's away from his players in good times and bad, and I saw the same thing at Florida. And then what happened towards the tail end of Florida is anonymous people started chirping about what's going on inside of the program, and all that turned out to be true, and Florida started to go downhill. Things that were normally good in that program, like you were good at, on defense, started to slip. Yeah, there's a lot of similarities behind what's going on at Columbus. That's why, I mean, this is a pretty important moment for Urban Meyer. And I've said for a while now, I think this is it. It's just there's something not right between him, his players, and his staff. There's such a disconnect that kind of aura has slipped a little bit. And that's crazy to say because Ohio State's been dominant. What are they, 77-9, I think, since he's been at Ohio State?
Mm-hmm.
But there's something wrong there. We can all see it. They've got a month to either figure it out or figure out who's going to be the next guy. Next week, wild in Columbus for an 11 a.m. game where they're wearing all black and even their own fan base doesn't know what kind of football team's going out there. That's why it's important for Nebraska to keep momentum going today, to play well so they have a feel-good going into that game where they know they can go in there. And they might not be able to slow Ohio State down, but I think they'll think, hey, we can keep up with them on the scoreboard or at least try in terms of our offense.
Gary Sharp's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, weekend edition. Sharpie, a lock of the weekend as we say goodbye.
Lock of the weekend. I will go with, am I using the spread or straight up?
Give me the spread.
Let me give you one real quick if you don't have one coming to mind.
All right, Gary Sharp.
To give one to Gary in case he didn't have one at the ready. Clemson, 17.5 at Florida State?
I will go with Texas A&M winning at Mississippi State today. Slight underdog.
Okay. And you say?
Clemson, 17.5 at Florida State? I ain't seeing it, man. No.
Okay.
No, Willie Taggart's crew is going to lose by less than 17.5.
All right.
There you go. They might lose by 16, but dadgummit, they're not going to lose by 17.5.
Nope, Taggart effect.
Sharpie, we'll see you upstairs in a little bit. Thanks for a few minutes.
Hey, thanks, guys.
There he is. The Iron Horse, Gary Sharp, is with us. And good to hear from him. If you're bumping around downtown and you have the hankering for a one-carat diamond.
Yeah.
Because who doesn't?
Yeah.
Go see your friends at Sauter Heyman. Rick and Company got an incredible deal, limited time offer for you right now. 1 carat diamond at Sauter Heyman, a 1 carat diamond solitaire, just $100 a month. That's less than the price of a cup of coffee per day to show her how much she means to you. Maybe it's her first ring. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's time to upgrade. The time is now to go see Rick and your friends at Sauter Heyman. 1 carat diamond solitaire for just $100 a month. 12th and O downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion in Lincoln, or out west with your friends in Grand Island at Sauter Heyman. Log on today, SauterHeyman.com. A quick timeout, Hail Varsity Radio weekend edition. We're here in the rail yard. The sun is shining. It is gorgeous. Going to be a crisp, gorgeous fall day. It'll turn into, I think, low 70s. Perfect for football. Nebraska, Bethune-Cookman. Don't forget Nick Gregeth and company, Real Red Reaction. Going to be rolling right as Nebraska puts a fork in Bethune-Cookman. And 96 Kicks gets their pregame, your pregame going around 9 o'clock. So we want to see you down here in the rail yard. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
With Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, with Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranak.
One final time, weekend edition, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, here in the balcony of the rail yard outside the Hail Varsity offices. Real Red Reaction coming up right after Nebraska Bethune-Cookman. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, and we're going to play Guess What Colton Stone Is Wearing. What hat does he have on? I think Colton is rocking a Nebraska stocking hat? Kranak, do you have a guess?
No, he's going San Jose Sharks again.
You're going San Jose Sharks
since
the hockey season has started up. Colton, this is creepy, not intended to be. What are you wearing?
Okay, so we're closer with the stocking hat. It is a beanie, but it's a band beanie, so it's not Huskers. Ooh. But right now I'm not wearing a hat at all. I got a new haircut yesterday.
Oh, and you
got
to show that off.
So, well, I went to sleep with the product still in my hair because I didn't have time to shower. So,
got some product.
Yeah.
Welcome to the product segment.
Yes.
You going with pomade or you going with more of a forming cream?
The pomade is
on
the way
top,
you go.
And then some grease to hold the cowlick down in the back.
Okay.
Cowlicks are tough on Saturday mornings.
We'll take all your
Greg,
fashion.
Take your hat off. Let me see this high and tight.
We'll take all your fashion questions.
I need that high and tight.
Yeah.
So you're wearing a beanie this morning, Colton, and you've got the pomade's the way you go.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a picture that was taken of me about 6:05 this morning, and while I appreciate it, I mean, I look like I'm part of Dr. Evil's crew with my hair slicked back, and I need a cigarette holder.
Yeah. There's a lot going on in that photo.
There is.
Yeah.
There is. Now, Colton, do you have a request for Kranak? Because he cranked up a little Bon Jovi at the coffee shop this morning. Do you want to hear him play something next Saturday? Well, 2 weeks from Saturday, as we'll be back for the Illinois game. I pray to God it's not at 11 o'clock, but, you know, well, prime time work at work. You want to hear a song from Kranak is my question.
On guitar, that is.
Yes.
Can you play anything by Pearl Jam?
Ah, yes.
Yeah, I'd have Pearl to look Jam. Up some tablature on the internet and figure that out. I could.
Okay. What would you go with?
Who?
Black wouldn't really work because that's not a great – that's not noted for – I'd probably go with Even Flow.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
On acoustic with no pick? I mean, come on.
How about Daughter? I don't know. Just saying. The intro.
Yeah, could do that. Potentially do that. Hey, I got tickets to give away, by the way, Colton.
You are giving – you win Mark Kranach's tickets?
Yeah. Yeah. You can win my – their East Stadium expansion, chair backs, elevator up and down.
That's code for high up.
Well, this is, you know, it's great. Everybody that sits up there is like, you can really see the plays develop.
Yeah.
Up here. You can see the plays develop. It's like, it's like you're in a blimp.
In Colorado.
Flying over. Yeah. You can, though. You can see the plays develop. And last week, I sat in the West Stadium,
like
ninth row.
Staring at ants.
Hey, well, listen, I was ninth row West Stadium last week, and I could not see the plays develop. Up in the East Stadium expansion, though. You can absolutely do that. So we're giving away the tickets, by the way.
Your Win Kranach's tickets.
Yeah, you just have to call in.
What caller number?
We'll go with caller four.
Okay.
I was going to do something fun like, hey, what would I do if I scored a touchdown, which we did touch on in the first segment.
Yeah, you were going to moon everybody.
But that was over an hour and 45 minutes ago. Yeah, I was going to moon East Stadium if I scored a touchdown, if I got in today. Because a lot of people are going to get in today against Bethune-Cookman.
Even Mark Kranach would have gotten in today is what you're saying.
And then I would have mooned East Stadium. I would have been kicked off the team after that, but that's fine because I don't think I would have played against, Ohio State. My only chance to play would have been against Bethune-Cookman.
Okay.
And then hopefully Frost is still in a rhythm and there's still those wide-open things happening. Like Stanley Morgan's second touchdown, that could have been me.
Ooh.
I would have made that catch. I might have got hawked at the 20. But I would have been open, just like Morgan was.
Sure.
I mean, anybody could do that.
Sure, because they would have been on the play action. So caller four, wins your tickets. How are we doing this? Are you emailing?
Yeah, electronic mail.
Okay.
I just email them. So whoever calls in as caller four, you got to have an email address. If you don't have one, wow.
We still love you.
I don't know if we can help you much there.
466-3776, 466-3776 or 800-825-5865. Caller 4 wins Kranach's tickets.
What is this email thing? You're going to mail it?
Imagine trying to explain email to somebody that's been in a coma for 20 years. They get out.
That's okay.
It'd be difficult.
Give me a score today, Kranach.
Oh, God. Who knows? Because they're going to be playing me and you at the end. God. I don't see any way that Nebraska comes in under 42.
Okay.
42 is like, so I'll go 45. I'll go 45, and then Bethune-Cookman, they'll break a couple.
I don't know if their quarterback's going today.
Yeah, but But Nebraska, you're going to be playing young guys in the secondary, got some athletes. I'll give them 13, okay. 45-13.
45-13.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Win number two. And then Nebraska's probably going to get Illinois. That's three. And then you just need two of the remaining three between Michigan State, Iowa, Ohio State to go bowling.
Yes. Colton, do we have a caller
for?
I will have one, yes.
Okay. I'll let you and Kranak connect. You're going to win Kranak's tickets. Tune in to Mr. Nick Gregeth, Real Red Reaction. He's in Huxley. Gregeth and Huxley coming up. Have a great Saturday with Hail Varsity, ESPN Lincoln, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Thanks.